reasons for their three slaughtered brothers. And don't forget the booby traps and mines the map shows. They stood still, their breath held, as they listened. The death screech of the second of the Stickies had frozen the forest, silencing every living thing. Wherever they looked, Ryan and JB saw only stark silver light and deep-etched shadows.
Can't hear anything.
The armorer bit his lip, shifting his feet as he noticed that the pool of blood from the three corpses was spreading near him. Despite their clumsiness and general stupidity, some Stickies were able to move quickly over short distances, and most of them had great stamina, capable of holding on to pursuit for hour after hour.
Might as well carry on north. You got a better idea?
JB shook his head.
North it is.
Wolfram had insisted that his guests, as he so unctuously called them, should join him in the Magus for breakfast that morning. The companions had been released from their locked and bolted huts and marched over to the quarters of the joint leaders of the fortress. The Sekhmen had their weapons drawn and cocked, circling the prisoners, watching them warily. They were particularly suspicious of Jack, keeping several paces away from him.
I do say, I'd rather eat alone than with the mongrel scum of Deathland.
No point in antagonizing them, Doc. Costs us nothing to be nice to them, and it might help us in the long run.
Upon my soul, Dr. Wyeth, but you are too much sweetness and light, and I am cantankerous and evil-livered.
Yes, but we all love you, Doc.
Wolfram and the Magus were already seated at the breakfast table.
Welcome, friends. Please, sit down.
Once they were seated, the fat man gestured for the meal to be brought in. Sekhmen carried in dented silver chafing dishes with polished covers, laying them at intervals around the long refectory table. Christy watched with some interest, noticing that there seemed to be no women in the fortress at all, not even the sluts that might have been expected. The food was basic, approaching adequate, leaning heavily on what the surrounding forest and river supplied. Some long-boned fish with the heads left on, silver eyes boggling at the ceiling, jaws brimming with a triple row of serrated teeth, a leathery omelet, liquid at the center, larded with pieces of bacon and fat strips of pork. The best dish was some wafer-thin flakes of beef soaked in oil and served with chopped onions, sun-dried tomatoes, and some olive bread.
We had some scouts out in the wood last night.
Wolfram helped himself, piling his blue and white plate high with food.
And what did they see?
It is more what they heard.
Magus pulled a fish apart with his steel-tipped fingers.
What?
A couple of my best scouts were out. On my orders. Told them, dear fellows, to keep out of trouble. To watch and listen. Not become involved. That's what they did.
The shitters probably only went 100 paces into the trees, then waited a few hours and came back out again.
I think not. I trust them. Somewhat. Said they heard a gang of Stickies moving south toward the ville that has that strange museum place. Tedious stuff, but I digress. My men say that they heard a scream.
Just one scream?
Indeed, my white-haired youth, just the one. Nothing to build a reputation on, is it? A scream? It could have been a wild hog, or a slaughtered Sticky, or even a one-eyed murderer who once rode with the Arch-Slayer.
Christy stopped eating, not sure whether the grossly fat man was playing a cruel joke on them all.
You look, head fucked, Christy.
No, I'm really fine. Could be you who gets head fucked when Ryan and JB get here.
The Magus stared at her, and she felt a chill run down her spine, her sentient hair curling defensively around her nape. He lifted his hand to his right eye.
I see what I see. I see what's going to happen when debts are paid and accounts settled. You have the power of seeing, don't you?
Some.
So, what does the future hold for you and for me? For all of us?
Christy rarely responded to that kind of challenge, having learned from her mother that the special talent of seeing that she possessed was Gaia-given and shouldn't be devalued, cheapened, and peddled as though it had fallen off the back of a truck. But the snide probing of the Magus had gotten to her. She closed her eyes and sat back in her chair.
You should not succumb to the fiend.
It's all right. Got everything in hand. It's all right.
It was impossible to describe to anyone else exactly how she felt when she probed inside her own mind. Christy struggled to see something of the future for Wolfram and the Magus, for Ryan and J.B. Dix, for all of them over the next few dangerous days. But the future was clouded. Shifting images came to her from a gelid mist, dappled with daggers of red-purple chem lightning. The faces of all her friends and her enemies swam in and out of focus in a silent mosaic of confusion. But there was no sense of order, no glimpse of what the future might truly hold for any of them. Christy squeezed her eyes shut tighter, trying to close out any noise, but the harder she concentrated, the less she could make out. There were tiny flashes, like the visions seen during a vicious thunderstorm, crisp black and white images that froze for just a heartbeat and then disappeared. Ryan, water streaming down his face, running through the trees, a knife in his hand that wept blood. JB lying still, his head thrown back, rain bouncing off his glasses. A picture that faded into the Magus in a similar position, steel eyes open wide, looking up into a darkening sky, snowflakes settling on the glittering frosted lenses. Jack juggling with his knives in a tumbling array of whispering steel, Mildred shaking her head, the beads in her hair bouncing but making no noise, all in silence, while her mouth opened and closed as if she were trying to shout a warning. Wolfram naked in a bath of steaming water, smoking a large cigar while he picked at his crimson nails with a tiny golden stiletto. Doc leaning like an elegant dandy on his sword stick, sipping at a fluted glass of frothing white wine. His head was to one side, and he was staring intently at her, looking slightly puzzled, as if he'd been told something that he didn't quite understand, as though his world was slightly out of kilter.
Please, you see nothing, don't you?
Christy didn't reply to the Magus' sudden probing, seeking to keep herself wrapped warmly in the security blanket of her own visions.
You hear me well enough in your fake trance. I know you do, Christy Roth.
Her eyes opened, and she swayed a little in her seat, looking down at her plate. She was aware that everyone was looking at her, and felt Doc's hand on her sleeve.
I'm all right.
You saw my fate?
I saw a bleak and lonely passing for you. The dogs licked your cooling blood, and not a living soul mourned for your death.
Christy had been staring at the Magus, and she saw to her surprise that the random angry shaft had struck home. His jaw sagged a little, and his eyes widened. A metal serving spoon bent in his right hand.
My dear Magus, I believe that the green-eyed temptress has pierced your defenses.
I tell she has. Just the usual kind of lies you'd look for from the poxed slut of that bastard Ryan Corder.
He speaks well of you too, Magus.
The Magus's metal eyes turned to Jack.
Stay all you want, robot man. Wolfram, what did the Sekhmen find out in the woods? Not that Ryan's dead, so what?
They came across the corpses of three stickies beneath a tree. Two had been hacked to death with some sort of cleaver. The third of them had his face stripped from his raw skull with a flechette round from a Smith & Wesson scatter gun.
John's blaster.
Indeed. Carter and Dix had fled this scene long before my men got there.
They see any sign of live stickies?
They were lucky not to be trapped themselves. It seemed that Carter and Dix had a lead from their trail of around 45 minutes. But my sick people hid as they saw a group of nearly 20 stickies out in pursuit. They thought that it was likely that the muties would catch up with them around dawn. Oh, they returned with all speed, but one thought that he heard an explosion just as they got back to the camp here. Wondered if it might have been a mine. About the right time for the stickies to have caught up with the boys.
Wolfram glanced at his ornate gold crown.
By now they should all have met up.
Ryan became aware an hour or so before dawn that they were being pursued. It had started with the all-too-familiar feeling at the back of his neck.
Hold on, JB.
What? Feel something?
JB looked behind them, taking his time, glancing all around. The moon.